I thought that was appropriate, OSHA. Two greatest runs in team history, certainly by quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you and I are together, with the exception maybe of O'Halloran, the two of the three fleetest of foot media members that the Jacksonville Jaguars have.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, sometimes you reach and it doesn't reach back.
It didn't come back around. You're wondering where the hell that was going.
Brunell's run against Denver wasn't in there, was it?
Did I miss that? That was Brunell's run against Denver.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was. It was the Brunell run against Denver and the Garrard run.
Okay. I'm like, did I not hear what just played a minute ago?
Me and Tony were over here reliving the soccer.
I thought you might have been reliving Vandy baseball. In the College World Series.
6-4. We're 2-0 in the World Series,
yes.
Baby.
They're trying to add to, as I learned earlier this morning, their women's bowling title that they have. That's what
Vandy's the only one.
Okay. It's the major title that Vandy pulled.
Well, congratulations there.
Thank you.
Tony added 2-1. Good guys yesterday.
I did. I even kind of had the scoring plays down yesterday. You asked me how the game was going to go. I think I predicted it to be Josie Altidore just making a play. It turned out to be Clint Dempsey.
Terrible call. Josie Altidore
in 30
is soft.
Seconds. But I did say they'd win 2-1. On a setup play, basically, and they had that on a corner.
Who scored in this game for the United States?
That would be John Brooks and Clint Dempsey.
Brooks and Dempsey. Lauren, on behalf of you and me,
well done.
They are welcome. All right, so on we advance against this terrible Portugal team. They got blown out yesterday.
Let's go, boys.
There's your World Cup update.
Oh my
right
gosh.
Now. Where did you watch it? Johnny O watched it on the elliptical. Yesterday, I believe.
No, I was out and about. I was in the public at a local sports bar hanging out. And
you're a man of the people.
I am, when I have the opportunity to be, especially for stuff like that.
He doesn't
like
own
that.
A TV either, so that helps.
Especially for stuff like that, and man, I was stressed.
Was it an electric atmosphere at the local establishment you were at?
For 30 seconds there, it was really exciting.
The first 30 seconds, I bet it was, right?
And then for the next 65, 70 minutes of that game, you're sitting there going, man, we suck.
I gotta say,
they just gotta take it to them.
Terrible. And I thought the refs, out of all the times, usually you feel like the refs job the United States.
Yeah.
With a couple of exceptions, obviously Clint Dempsey got his nose broken and there was no call. They got away with so much yesterday. I thought every call that went against Ghana, I was just like, what happened? Where was that foul?
They got a little bit, but, I mean, Josie with the hamstring leaving that game and Clint Dempsey getting kicked in the nose and what should have been a red card for Ghana at that point in the game and then basically being without any subs because they have to sub for Josie, they have to sub for Beasler, the defenseman who had his hamstring get tight. They're going into halftime. I mean, the fact that they held on and won that day, that was unreal. From Team USA.
All right,
last
so they
night.
Play Thursday, right? Is that it? That's what I kept hearing.
They play Sunday.
Is it Sunday?
At 6 o'clock against Portugal.
Why do they keep
next
Thursday,
Mike?
Yeah. Oh, is it next
Thursday?
Next Thursday at noon.
Yeah, Germany.
That's so long away from now. We should have a Jaguars Today viewing party.
We should.
Right here in the studio.
Oh, don't worry
right?
around me. Turn one of these.
What's going on?
I'm a basket case.
All the players are gone next week, Osh. We can get that done. How many chairs do we have in here? Three per host?
There are quite a few chairs.
So we can invite like a half dozen people
and they're
down.
From a long time ago.
It's not like anybody's getting any work done around these offices, right?
No.
If we're screaming and yelling, I think they'd be able to handle that. The XL Primetime is going to be setting up live at practice this morning. They're going to take over at noon, so they're going to be out there at minicamp. Osh, how different...
Does that mean a hacker sighting?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Hacker, T-Wig, and Josie all together.
You can't buy that guy.
It's like it's like the second full moon in a month.
Really
what do they
is.
Call that? The new? Is that a new moon? Is that what that is?
I don't think so.
It's
just called a full
harvest
moon.
Harvest moon? There's a name for a second full moon in the month.
Warren moon.
That's not a Warren moon, Fortunato. Thanks for tying it back into football. How's it going to look any different this week, John, than it did for the past several with OTAs, if it will?
It looks a little different. They can do a few different things, but for the most part, it's going to look the same, except for the fact that the fans can see it. And I think that's what's going to be cool the next couple of days is, again, I don't think you're going to get near the numbers that you've had earlier, but the fans who want to come out and check this out can see it, and that always gives a little energy and a little excitement, even to the players.
Especially today, I think, when the time change happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have been theoretically right. Taking the afternoon off, get done at noon, get wrapped up to get out here and watch some practice. Not going to happen for some of those folks, I would imagine, today. But the turnout's been fantastic up to this point. Any buzz as to whether or not any of these receivers who have yet to get back, five guys had
right.
not returned to practice as of the end of last week, or do you think it's, at this point, just caution, let's not have any further setbacks before they head in?
I'd be a little
summer.
Surprised if Cecil is out there, although I haven't heard anything on that. They were really working Ace and Mike Brown and Ace Sanders. Those guys came back a little bit last Thursday, so you expect them to be full go. On the other guys, you would just be a little surprised considering you've gone this long. You're only going to get 2 days and a third on Thursday. I don't know if it's worth it. If these guys are nursing soft tissue stuff that could reactivate, if you will, I don't know that it's worth it to put him back out there if it's close for a three-day minicamp.
And I think that's been the feeling with Allen Robinson since he hurt himself. I mean, that we wouldn't see him again until training camp. Disappointing, certainly, for fans.
They don't say much along those lines, obviously. But with a guy like Allen Robinson, he had a hamstring injury, and Cecil Shorts alluded to it early. These guys, when they're getting ready for the draft, they do a lot of running, and it's a different kind of running than they would prepare for the regular season. They're trying to prepare for time, so they put some wear on their body. And if that's what sort of caused this with Allen Robinson, then you shut him down, you get him ready, and you get him ready to be full go in training camp, and you spend this time really working on getting him to know the offense. All the other stuff that you can't do on the field, that you can do off the field, you have him preparing for that, and say, get ready physically and be ready to go 100% in late July.
Yeah, it's interesting. You watch the NBA playoffs, if you watch them at all, and they talk about Manu Ginobili finally taking an off season off.
Right.
Didn't play with the national team with Argentina, and how much fresher he was this season and throughout the playoffs. And, you know, even though these guys are young,
sure,
there's a lot of running involved. There's a lot, especially for the guys leading up to the draft. The rest of guys will be working out on their own, veterans, but they're not doing it as intensely,
right,
I don't think, at that time of the year as some of these young guys.
Well, you hear it all the time with rookies, and it stands to reason, especially rookies who are running a lot, even when they first get in here, they never really have, and I know how this sounds to fans, woe is me, they're 21 years old, do they really need an off season? But they never really get an off season from the time they go to their college camps, which is in July. They play the college season, and then they immediately start training for the draft. Which, again, it's not the most taxing thing in the world. It's better than coal mining. But it's still a toll on the body that you don't get that time off and the body isn't used to doing that. So at least this is what Cecil was talking about earlier in training camp, I mean, in mini camp. That's the sort of thing that can lead to some soft tissue stuff. And you know, Cecil's theory is that's what was going on with the receivers a little bit.
Yeah, well, either way, regardless, I agree with you. Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, they're going to treat him with kid gloves.
Sure.
At this time of the year, why shouldn't you? Sense in getting something that's going to set you back for the start of training camp. So we'll see who is out there today. Maybe one or two of those guys able to return out of the five that hadn't yet as of last week. Day one of a three-day mini camp. Jags on the field. Again, pretty early today. What's the official time? 10:50 today? Is that the official
10:40 is when they're on the field.
10:40 stretching on the field.
Yeah, some stretching. It is a blue moon.
Blue moon.
By the way.
All right, I knew there was a name for it.
Somebody on Twitter.
Thanks to someone. Thank you, person on Twitter. I knew there was a name for that.
E. Harris 79.
There you go.
Thanks to him.
Oh, Eric. He tweets us all the time.
I think that's why the phrase is once in a blue moon.
There you go. It's very rare.
It all ties into that.
He's very smart. You know, I learned about the honeymoon. Did you see the honeymoon thing about a week and a half ago?
You told me about it.
I told you, right? Yeah. Well, I forget who I tell because you guys are in and out of here.
That hurts me because we're very close.
Well, it seems that way to you, and I've done a good job creating that impression, but not as close as we're going to be.
Obviously.
Over the rest of the days and weeks and many months ahead, and maybe years. Who knows, John? We'll have just a fantastic career together. Coming up today, among other things, and I'll tell you later how this popped into my head for today. Our question of the day from the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships is simply, who's your favorite current NFL broadcaster, college or television? Television or radio? College or pro? Pro football announcer, TV or radio? College sounds a lot like radio, doesn't it?
Whatever.
You know, tin can with a string.
If you've ever talked about football, you qualify for
anyone who talks about, no. We're talking about play-by-play guys, color commentators, game analysts, guys who actually work on the game broadcast, whether it's TV or radio. Share your thoughts with us. Got a chance to win a Jaguars Today t-shirt. We'll go through some of the things that we'll be looking for at minicamp today. Some of the storylines you might want to have your eye on if you are making your way out. Again, things will get underway in about a half an hour out on the practice field. It's open to the public today. And tomorrow, they moved up the times on both days, so it's going to be a morning, mid-morning to early afternoon routine as opposed to completely in the afternoon. XL Primetime will be stopping by and broadcasting live from noon to 3 each of the next couple of days, so stop by and say hi to those guys as well as you head out to the practice fields. We'll take a quick break. If you want to get in today, 641-1010. You can tweet us, whether it's having to do with the Tom Bush question of the day or anything else, at MD_1010XL, at John Osher, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren, who our namesakes, Lauren and I, provided all the offense for the United States of America yesterday in Brazil. Dempsey and Brooks. Dempsey gets us on the board. Brooks with the game winner, and you are all very welcome. Tony doesn't care. No Smiths on this squad?
No Smiths. That's fine. As long as Dempsey and Brooks are scoring two and Gon only got one, that's good enough for
all
me.
All the revisionists now love Jurgen Klinsmann. Or do we all love him today?
I think it was all about whether or not they were going to win a game in group. We've circled Ghana for 6 months. They won the freaking game. Unbelievable last night.
He's giddy.
I am.
I think it's fair to say.
We got a chance to get out of group.
He's off the chain is what he is. All right, John's going to stick with us for most of the first hour of Jaguars today. Then he'll head out to the practice field. So we've got a lot to get into. You want to weigh in again. 641-1010, the way to do it. Live at Everbank Field, Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, John Osher, moments ago, would you have any idea what the name of the song was?
Oh, it's something about getting better, isn't it?
It's something about getting better, isn't it?
Right?
Shameless. You're really picking up on this radio thing really quickly, and I like that. What is this called, Lauren?
I Want to Get Better.
I Want to Get Better. Something about
getting
better.
That's what I was going to say.
And so I'm guessing today's theme is going to be somehow Gus Bradley related.
Something about getting better.
Something about getting better, yeah, and getting and a vision. We need a vision theme one day. Which, by the way, we'll play some cuts coming up from Mercedes Lewis, who's on with the boys this morning. He's totally drinking the Kool-Aid, dropping the code words. They're all doing it. I mean, but it's just so funny to hear, you know, when they're talking about what's, you know, the importance of coming back for one day of OTAs when you're flying out to the West Coast and back, you're taking red eyes, and he said it's part of my vision. And you're like, wow, he is committed. He really is buying
Mike, someday
in.
I'll sit you down and explain to you my vision.
Will you? Yeah, I look forward to that.
I got to get a vision first.
All right, that's good. Apparently, I walk in this morning, and one of our finest security men in the lobby tells me they're killing Mercedes on NFL Network for his contract. I guess, because they're comparing, you know, what Vernon Davis wants. It really makes me wonder sometimes. These guys, they understand circumstances are different for everybody. And some teams, you know, they said, well, Jacksonville had to spend more money to attract him. Well, they already have him. You know, they already had him on board. You know what I mean? It's just different circumstances. Different guys are more valuable to different teams. And if the Jags were in a cap crunch, Mercedes Lewis probably wouldn't be worth the money that they're paying him. But they're not in a cap crunch, so what's the big deal?
Is he supposed to give it back?
No, of course he's not supposed to give it back. I don't think it's that. I think they're just saying, you know, poor Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis is a better player than Mercedes Lewis. There may be 15 tight ends better than Mercedes Lewis that make less than Mercedes Lewis. That's just the way the market works sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, if it would be very difficult and very tricky to do a complete breakdown of who's paid exactly right in this league. It's very circumstantial. It's about timing. When they paid Mercedes Lewis, he was coming off a great year. But you also knew with Mercedes, and I've always said this about him, at the very least, no matter what you pay him, you know and you're guaranteed you're going to get a very good blocker. So you know what you're getting out of him, at least on that end, because that's not going to go away. It's not going to change based on who the quarterback is, based on what's going on. So in that sense, is he overpaid compared to some of the other tight ends? Probably. Does he perform and do what they ask him to do? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if it were a case where they're anywhere close to the cap, that which they're not,
right.
You know, I just think they have to have this guy
right.
for what he does for this football team. And you look at his numbers, and that's what, you know, we live in a fantasy football kind of era
sure.
of fandom, and I'm as guilty as anybody of that. But if you look at what he does for this team, and it really, if you look, and I keep harping on this, John, you look at what he did over the last month of the season when he finally got healthy mm-hmm. down the stretch for this football team, and it gives me hope that he
right.
can approach the level, you know, when he was a 10-touchdown guy.
You know that he... There's a lot of free agents you give money to, and they are a bust. You know, with his talent, with his ability to block, with his ability to make the defense at least pay attention to him, that you are always going to get value out of him as long as he is in his prime, which I think he clearly is.
Fair to say, though, he's been inconsistent at best with his hands over the years, right? I mean,
there's sure.
way too many drops for the amount of balls thrown his way.
And he's not... one of the best receiving tight ends in the league, or hasn't been. In 2010, the year before I got here, I guess he played very well for most of that season. But I don't know that that's ever what, even when they signed him, that they thought he was going to be an elite level, you know, Tony Gonzalez
catch guy,
in his
right.
prime,
yeah.
Antonio Gates guy. But he does give you a rare combination in that you know you are going to get an elite level blocker. With, again, I always go back to a guy that he is so good physically, he is so dangerous physically, that if defenses don't cover him, they have to account for him. And the Jaguars in the last 3 or 4 years haven't had that many players on offense that defenses have to account for. And if you don't cover him, if you don't account for him, he can make a big play, which is important to this offense.
And it seems like he makes one. Just about every game. One
sure.
play that kind of makes you go, ooh.
Right.
But then, you know, too often that may be the only
right.
time you really notice him.
I'm not going to sit here and say that he ought to be the highest paid tight end in the league. That would be dim. But there is so much money spent in this league, and so often that the money spent is just an absolute waste. And you cannot say that about Mercedes Lewis.
Now, the guy... who right now is fighting to be his backup, mm-hmm. who's caught our eye, I think, in, you know, the open portion of practices and just overall.
Open portion.
Right. You see how I covered
right,
myself
like
there?
Right.
I've learned. Right? But Marcell Jensen is, you know, that big, athletic, receiving type. I don't know if he could block a housefly, and I think Gus Bradley is kind of mm-hmm. harped on that as well, because this is the time of year a guy like Marcell Jensen is going to
sure.
look really good. He's a matchup nightmare. That guy goes all a 6'6". He's got long mm-hmm. arms, and they're just chucking the ball up to him all over the place out there, again, during the open portion of practice, which
right.
you'll probably see some of today as it's open to the public.
Very athletic, and... again, he strikes you as the kind of guy that even if he comes out and struggles a little bit blocking in training camp, he's got the size, he's got the hands. He would strike you as the guy who is athletic enough and physical enough that even if he's not a great blocker right now, if you give him time, perhaps he could develop into that. So at this point, it would be easy to see him sticking. Something you just said about Marcell Jensen, too. This is often the time, even for receivers, where you sometimes see fool's gold out there. And I'm not saying that about Marcell Jensen, but it sort of struck a nerve that so often during training camp and even in the preseason, people get so excited about guys who are catching the ball, be it the third team receiver, be it the little guy from Youngstown State, It's very tricky to try to judge even receivers at this time of year on how they're going to make the team. And so watch what you're seeing today and remember that the pads aren't on yet. Even for receivers, as much as we sort of say, hey, we can judge that because it's just catching the ball, it's tougher.
Well, the thing is, you better stand out as a receiver at this time
and
of
that's
year.
Probably,
right?
Yes.
And so if you don't stand out,
right.
that's kind of – and whereas if you stand out, it's not a guarantee of anything, but if you don't, it's almost
right.
like a criticism of
– I think you mentioned earlier, how often have we all stood at a training camp and kind of turned away and went, I like number 83, looking pretty good.
Exactly,
and you feel like you're
Chad Owens has been to how many consecutive Pro Bowls now?
Right.
Is it eight? I'm not sure. But
that's sort of the thing. It's your instinct, right, is to say, well, I can see this. I can see him running routes. He looks fluid. He looks like he's great. He's got great hands. Everything in you says that you're seeing something. And the reality is there's every team has one of those guys. If you look at the leading receiver on most teams in preseason, I'll bet you half of them, 75%, are not on the final roster.
Yeah, the example I've used for years is Billy Davis back in, I want to say like the late 90s for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Had something like 500 yards receiving
right.
in four preseason right. games. And I don't know if he ever caught a ball regular
right.
season, ever, literally ever caught a ball. He probably did.
I remember
somewhere along
Curtis
the line.
Curtis Marsh in the 90s. I think he was in the first draft class here. It was 1 year, 96 to 97. He came out. He was making one-handed catches in the final preseason game. And you thought, boy, and all the athleticism in the world. I believe two of his kids are now in the NFL. All the athleticism in the world and just never was able to get on the field on a consistent basis in the regular season. And it just shows you it's different once those pads go on, even for regular season.
Well, like Jeff Prosser pointed out, you're getting more of a free release here. You're not getting, chucked at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
But in addition to that.
And you're also usually playing against defensive backs who are not as good as the starters. It's more difficult, obviously, to get open against starting defensive backs than third-team defensive backs.
And with the knowledge that when I run that seam route against these guys, and I go up and extend my body to pluck that acrobatic catch out of the air, that I'm not going to get blown up.
And separation is so key, and it can often be a tenth of a second, a half of a step, a certain move that enables you to get open. Again, much easier to create that separation against a third-team guy than an elite-level guy.
Which of these receivers, a lot of these receivers have taken advantage, I think, of mm-hmm. additional reps. Kerry Taylor, just volume-wise,
right.
has had a ton of balls thrown his way. Alan Hearns, another guy, Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
One or two of those guys that really you'd put at the lead pack in terms of grabbing one of those last roster spots or at least being a guy
right.
to keep an eye on in training camp?
It sort of depends on what they're looking for. Hearns, from what you hear, has been very consistent and has shown up every day. Copeland seems to have the quickness that makes you think eventually there could be something special athletically there. And obviously there's something special athletically there now, but that he could turn that in to a skill that you need to excel in the NFL. Usually a guy has to have a certain skill that stands out. He seems to have the quickness to do that. Kerry Taylor, again, a lot of opportunities, and you wonder if that will translate into training camp, into a chance to get more reps once these starters, the frontline guys, come back.
641-1010 if you want to get on board. We'll get to some of your phone calls here coming up in just a minute. Also, coming up a little bit later on today, we're talking about how much money Mercedes Lewis made. Sports Illustrated, I guess along with maybe, is it Fortune Magazine that puts out the list of the top 50
Yeah, they
earners?
Do it every year.
Right, top 50 earners. By the way, I'm going to quiz Tony. We do
yeah,
this every year.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I've been
fun.
Doing over here.
You're
been,
making a list of
I'm
how many
making a list,
NFL
yeah.
guys. How many NFL guys do you think cracked the top 50, John, in terms of the top United States sports earners over the last 12 months?
Three.
Ten.
Really?
I was pleasantly surprised is the way to put it.
It's a bigger number than it usually is.
It's gone
right.
up considerably. And a lot of it is factored in when guys get their contracts done because
right.
that signing bonus is all money you earned in that calendar year.
Okay.
Gotcha. All that comes to you. So that's something that we'll take a look at a little bit later on. Let's get a call or two in before we break. 641-1010. Jerome going to start us off today on 1010XL. What's up, Jerome? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I got two questions about the Jags also. But first off, I'm going to say John Gruden, though. I think he does a good job.
Favorite current NFL broadcaster, okay?
Yeah, and here's two quick questions. Who do you think is going to be the second or third wide receiver? Lee or Robinson? And even though I think Lee is older, though, but do you think Robinson has a shot at taking that number two position? And who do you look forward to watching out of the rookies besides Bortles, though?
Okay. In terms of overall or for the short term, I mean, if it's overall, I think the easy answer for me are those receivers.
Yeah.
Once the season gets, because there's so much need for those guys
right.
to make an impact on this football team. And I'm also intrigued, I think, by Telvin Smith,
mm-hmm.
just because he's not going to be on the field every down, But he is so noticeable. His speed is noticeable. His quickness, his energy when he's on the field, and he could give them. You talk about having that special skill. They believe he's got that ability to really be an asset on third down, covering tight ends, and you know, so he would be a guy. But clearly, the wide receivers are the guys I think that need to make the biggest impact.
Well, and
this year,
I'm looking forward to seeing Lee because I think we have an idea what Robinson is, and I think he has a chance to be very, very good and a thing that they need, which is a bigger guy who you can go to on third down, who can turn third and seven into third and nine by using his physicality a little bit. They need that a little bit. But Marquise Lee...
Did you say turn third and seven into third and nine?
Well, into a nine-yard...
I gotcha.
Blaine Bortles. Nine-yard
pickup.
So,
thank you.
Right, so, you don't want a guy... I mean...
Get you nine on third and seven.
I can turn third and seven into third and nine.
All right. So, 2-yard penalty on John Osher.
But Marquise Lee is a guy who, when you watch him, makes you think that he might be something now, but makes you think that he might be something really, really special in a year or two when he figures out how to run routes, when he gets Jerry Sullivanized, if you will, and really figures out how to play the game at the NFL level. He might be that dynamic guy who could be a star, who's got some personality, who could be a lot of fun to watch over the next few years. So as we see that develop, and of course if you're following the Jaguars, you want to see that develop, that could be very exciting on a level that I'm not sure they've had at receiver in a while.
I think they're going to run a lot of three receiver sets, presuming everyone's healthy this year. But best guess, as to if they both have a healthy training camp, who is the guy that joins in a two-wide receiver formation? Who's the guy on the field with Cecil Shorts first snap?
I would say Robinson because, again, he gives you that something that, because of the size and because of the way he plays, feels
that counterpoint
solid.
To the yeah.
Yeah, and it's different from it's a bigger guy that they need that they haven't had in a while.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, and I think part of that.
But I think they're going to see so many, as you said, so many three receivers, so many rotations. It's a lot like defensive line, where I'm not sure it's going to matter that much who they list
starter
on the depth
and name,
chart.
Right?
Yeah, and I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. I mean, the point being that I think some of what we're thinking about him is colored by the fact that he made such a strong initial impression.
Sure.
His first few practices,
right?
And we're assuming that when he gets back to full health, that he's going to just pick up where he left off.
But there's so much of the receiver position; it is so difficult that first year that. No matter what we saw in that rookie camp, there is going to be learning. There is going to be a process where these guys have to figure out how to play at this level.
By the way, that small payback for everyone I've interrupted over the last 10 to 15 years. What do you say? A couple thousand more and we'll be about even? Is that about right? All right.
Something like that,
641-1010. We'll take a quick timeout. One more segment with John Osher from Jaguars.com. A little later on, I'll quiz Tony on just how smart he is on who the biggest money earners in the National Football League were over the last 12 months. And your votes, welcome via social media, Facebook.com/Jaguars today, any of our Twitter handles, or you can call in your picks as well. Who is your favorite current NFL broadcaster, TV or radio? It's Jaguars Today live from Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Need a little help, Tony.
I don't know this one.
I got nothing on
it. What do we got, Lauren?
This is David Bowie, and the song is called Sound and Vision.
Ah, yes.
I was going to say that.
Code word. Wasn't that an album of his, Sound and Vision? I want to say Fortunato, was that a David Bowie album? He's going to say no. All right, so I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, Mike,
we'll
move on. We were talking earlier about Mercedes Lewis being overpaid.
Were we? Yeah. Okay, yeah, sure.
That's a topic?
Yes.
Just once I want to be described that way. just once in my life I want somebody to go, hey, there's Osher. That guy's overpaid.
Well, guess what?
maybe they do.
I'm sure they say it about me. That people have no idea how much I make,
that's
but
right.
Whatever it is, it's too much.
Just
guaranteed.
Wants to have that criticism.
But you know what? I'm going to have to start factoring in breakfast and lunch, too, because Fat Tony and I may take advantage of that on a regular basis.
Yes, we do.
Around these parts. And, you know, if I counted up all the golf, I may have been comped over the years. The IRS would probably have something to say to me about it, so I better keep my mouth shut on that score. All right, Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony here with you. What's that, Lauren?
I said too late.
Too late? Yeah, I know. But look, trust me. If they didn't get on to me about all my my creative ways to watch movies online, I'm guessing they're not listening too closely right now. But it is Jaguars today. We're more high profile than we've been. So you just changed your shirt, didn't you?
I did.
You're all slicked up now, huh? All right, still got shorts on.
I did.
Sure, because I've seen you out there in pants recently.
There's a lot of leg
at practice
coming up on Jaguars.com.
None of that happening today?
Yeah.
Jaguars.com live, typically Wednesdays at 12:30.
Right.
You and J.P. Shadrick, you sit right there in that very seat.
I do. Well, this is J.P.'s seat.
Oh, is that J.P.'s seat?
Yeah,
is he okay
fine.
With you using it?
Yeah.
Are you okay with Tony using your seat?
I am fine with Tony using
all right.
My seat.
All right. Typically Wednesdays. But because practices are open to the public, there's no secrecy veil that's being dropped down today. You guys are going to go live for right at the top of the hour, right, on Jaguars.com?
Yes, and we'll have Jeff Lagerman and Brian Sexton and not sure who else. But
tell Lagerman to save the good stuff.
We'll be talking Jags.
He's coming in Thursday to chat with us.
That'll be good.
For
that'll
about
good
an
show.
Hour. I plan
He'll
on
break it.
It
down for you.
Well, that's what we have him for.
That's right.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to,
that's
right?
Right.
We all sit there and go, oh, I like this. And then Logman comes in and tells you, no, this is why this guy is terrible and this guy is
He'll
a star.
He'll tell you when you're
making.
Right and when you're wrong.
He certainly will. Won't we all? Shouldn't we all feel that
That's
way?
Right.
So today and tomorrow, though.
Yes.
Both days. You and J.P.
Shadrick
out there.
And not Thursday. And we typically try to go live from whatever we can. That's not a football strategy type of thing where if the cameras get on there, it could give another, you know. You don't want to do that, but for the most part, since this is a situation where we're fans are there for the first part, we'll stop going live when the Jags start doing their team stuff about, say, midway through practice, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Now, in all seriousness here, and I don't know if there's any way to quantify this, maybe we could just ask Gus Bradley and he'd tell you, how much of what they would do in a typical practice that's mm-hmm. closed, you know, like a Thursday's practice, how
right.
much is different than how much will they hold back and not show you on a Tuesday and Wednesday? I mean, obviously, you wouldn't think they'd put in too many trick plays,
right.
but at the same time, everybody's got trick plays in their book. And, you know, throwing one in there and having the fans excited, I don't know if the Tennessee Titans spies
right.
are going to gain a whole lot of info on that or intel.
Probably not, but you got to remember. 32 teams in the NFL, this is a very top secret type of league, very paranoid type of league. And for the Jaguars to allow the openness that they do, they're off the charts in terms of what they allow people to see.
Nothing like this in Indy? I mean,
never had anything open.
I mean, is that only an influence?
Because
Bill struck
Bill
everyone as
kind
of... Bill
was the president, so
yeah, but,
it obviously stemmed from him, but... It's just how most of the league is. It's not like they were probably a little more secretive and probably they were certainly more secretive with Bill there. There's no question about it. But it's not like they were dramatically ahead of the curve of most of the rest of the league. The league by nature, it's why Hard Knocks is such a hard thing for people to grasp. Within the league, the idea of having cameras there filming things in the NFL. There is a secrecy and a stealthiness isn't the right word, but it is a paranoid league by nature.
Way too far. Oh, I mean, is it over the top?
Sure it is.
I mean,
it's like the old thing when the coaches started sleeping on the couch. If one team's doing it, the other coach is going to start doing it. If one team's closing practice and not having something live on the site, then the other team's going to start. I mean. It's always about worrying that the next guy is outworking, the next guy is doing a little something.
Or at least appearing that he's outworking.
Yeah,
you.
So again, that's why I know people who watch the site a lot and listen to the show a lot hear me and J.P. Shattuck say this a lot, but the openness and the accessibility that Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley allow is very unusual, very fan-friendly, and you really can't fake it because it's not something that is innate in most football people.
So
it's a great thing.
That being said, again, I mean, what are we talking about here, though? The difference between 10%, 20%? I mean, what percentage of the playbook are we closing off and not going to show the light of day?
Probably most of the trick plays.
Any exotic formations you might have, something like
anything
that?
Anything exotic, there might be, again, there may be plays that they're developing right now that they're not even putting out there yet and won't until after the training camp practices close. So it's hard to say. Not a lot, because you have to practice something, but enough to make them feel good about themselves when they close it off.
I've always found, since David Garrard was coming in here for about the first 5 or 6 weeks of the show, having him talk about how much new gets installed throughout a typical game week.
Right.
Because it's stuff that you haven't even worked on, and then it's a case of the coaches and the scouts that are watching the other teams and are saying,
right,
if we put something in that can take advantage of that deficiency in that team, that's what we're going to run that week. And we'll try to do things that our guys are comfortable doing if we have plays that line up with that. But it was really surprising considering how little time you have. First of all, you got to learn all this stuff in the offseason.
Right.
You can't rep every play 10 times. You got to know all these things. You got to be able to call something, and maybe the playbook is condensed a little bit more than we realize during a typical week. But then they'll throw 10 new plays on top of that.
Different coaches approach that different ways. For instance, when I was with the Colts, they did very little midweek changing. They were a team at that point, because they had Peyton Manning and they had offensive weapons, who believed, we're going to do what we do and you're going to stop it. And we're not going to have a lot of tricks. We're not going to have a lot of motion. We're better than you are. If we execute well, we're going to win. That was what Tony Dungy's belief was always going back to getting simpler, always doing that. Other teams believe more in, hey, we're going to look at this. We're going to try to take advantage of what you're not doing. So that sort of varies.
Well, when you get – and Peyton Manning is – and quarterbacks of that ilk, when they're – you know, they've been around for a while. They don't have to be – have the Hall of Fame credentials of Peyton Manning. And they have command of the offense to the point where they really know everybody's responsibility on a given play. And if you have trust in your protection, you can sit back there and you can always – I mean, if you've been through it enough, you've got the presence of mind. The game's a little slower to you. You have the time to survey the field. I think that's why it's so beneficial for those guys to do so much work at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
It kind of lock you into what you're going to do defensively, and you can pick out that one matchup. Like you said, this might be the same play we run 100 times, but we know you've got one corner that can't cover this particular guy.
Right. We know we have one-on-one coverage over here. And again, that's Peyton Manning, quarterback, Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Edric.
Sure.
Guys who at the time that I'm talking about had been there 5-6 years working together. They knew, okay, I've got this one-on-one. It was almost instinct by that point. So it's different than a team that doesn't have that situation where you can just do what you feel comfortable doing.
All right, give us I want to know. I'm going to put you on the spot here. What is the perception in Indianapolis of Marvin Harrison? You know, all the stories after he retired of – was he involved in shootings, you know, in Philadelphia? He was involved in this most recent incident, and a lot of people were wondering, did he do something wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Because he had they feel like he may have gotten away with something at some point in the past. How is he just a beloved figure that helped the franchise? Is he somewhat aloof? How is he viewed?
Because of the reports that came out, you know, there's always going to be questions there, I would say. And by questions, I mean, he was a guy who was the hand the ball to the official guy. Very calm guy and a very great player. And when the reports and the things that, I guess, were reported, you know, that's going to lead fans to go, well, that's different than what I thought.
Right.
But fans in Indianapolis, they love Marvin. And he never did anything within the context of the organization, which is all I knew about Marvin, to take anything away from his legacy. And I was never in Philadelphia, didn't report any of those stories, so I don't know anything beyond that.
Sure. Well, if you needed a ride at 3:20 in the morning, he seems to be the kind of guy to let you just hop in the bed of his pickup truck, which is nice as well. And in that regard, and people say, you know, what are you doing driving around at 3:20? Well, if he does own a bar, which he still does, might have been closing the place up and heading home. That to me, if it weren't for the past stuff, I think he'd be being lauded right now, maybe for saving a guy's life.
I can say from my personal experience and from people that I know well that he was very giving and very good to a lot of people around there, and that's the side of him that I knew. And my role with him was really not anything outside the organization, if you follow me.
Gotcha.
So I can only speak to what I know.
Fair enough. John Osher will be live on Jaguars.com coming up in about 10 minutes with J.P. Shadrick.
Can't wait to join
see
you
out
of
the practice field. We all, you, Tony, and I all wore our black shirts today, which is
I'm going aviator sunglasses today on the air.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's sort of a new thing for me.
How do you look in your aviators? Lauren looks really good in aviators, by the way. I found that out when she went to the soccer game with
thank
us.
Thank you.
I'll let the viewer decide how I look, Mike.
All right. Tune in to Jaguars.com. Tweet us, though, and give us a full report. And, you know, include all of us in your tweets and let us know how Osh looks in his aviator sunglasses out there. In fact, the first person who can snap a picture of Osher in his aviators and tweet it to me, I'll give you a Jaguars Today t-shirt.
Wow.
How about that? Special times. All right, Osh. See you out there, buddy.
All right, bud.
There he goes. John Osher, senior writer from Jaguars.com. And Fat Tony, I'll come back. We'll hear from Mercedes Lewis a little bit of what he had to say this morning to the boys on the drill. Also, this date in football. I know Osh is sad that he's leaving. This is the best part of the show coming up right here. This date in football. Halfway point is reached coming up an hour from now. XL Primetime broadcast live from minicamp practice. Those boys are out there right now taking in a little practice. If you're out there, if you're headed out there, tweet me a picture of Osher in his sunglasses, and I'll hook you up with a Jaguars Today t-shirt. That's a pretty good deal. Otherwise, tweet us today your favorite current NFL broadcaster, TV or radio, and you get a chance to win a t-shirt that way as well. We'll get to some of the results a little bit later on, along with the top 10 earners in the National Football League and where they rank among the top 50 American athletes in earnings over the past 12 months. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with you next, live from Everbank on Jaguars Today. All right, before we get to this date in football history, which is always compelling, I want to remind folks while I'm thinking of it, Tony, because if I don't do it when I'm thinking of it, I mean, second only to interrupting people is my list of how many times I said, oh, yeah, I'll mention that when we come back, and never mention it.
Sure.
Right? So you can hear every U.S. game in the World Cup broadcast live on 1010XL. There you have it. In fact, it preempted, much to his own delight, the Fat Tony show last night.
Well, it was funny because I had a bunch of listeners tweeting me last night talking about how much fun it would have been if I had been on air when all that was going on. And I told them, look, it would have been 90 seconds of incoherent screaming. You wouldn't know who scored. You'd probably have a pretty good idea that the U.S. had scored to take the lead that late, but that would have been about it.
So give us your best Andres Cantor as the ball. Come on, go. Oh, come on, you can do it. Go.
Go. Santa Maria goal!
All right. St. Mary? Is that
John Brooks goal! USA!
Very nice. I got a little bonus. I was just looking for the goal, but we got a little bonus commentary tacked on to the end right there. This date in football history is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. And on this date in football history, 38 years ago today, our own Mike Peterson was born. Mike P., nobody who played for the Jags, who came from another organization, whoever played for another team, ever carried a grudge against that organization like Mike Peterson did with the Indianapolis Colts.
There's no doubt. And he got here and got to play him twice a year to carry out that grudge, too.
And he was fantastic. He was what we talked about, Tony. We did a show a few weeks ago, one of the question of the day was, who's the best linebacker in team history? He got a lot of consideration for that.
Yes,
he's among the handful of best guys to ever play the position, or that in that position group for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Paul Posluszny, you know, kind of pushing his way into that conversation. Daryl Smith, Kevin Hardy, I think those were the kind of the final four, right? The front runners in that regard. But Mike Pete guy, he could run. He could cover. He could rush. He's just a good all-around guy. A little bit undersized, you know, for what you typically draw it up. But so what?
That was part of the chip on his shoulder.
So Mike Peterson, born on this date 38 years ago, by the way, a native of Gainesville, Florida. Also born on this day, Tony, because I couldn't let the Gators have all the glory. Danny McManus. Now, former CFL quarterback with the Edmonton Eskimos, but one of the guys that I used to enjoy rooting for when he played quarterback for Florida State back in the 80s, and that's kind of what got me thinking about today's question of the day, which is, who is your favorite current NFL broadcaster? Because back in the 80s, Florida State was on TV maybe two, three times a year, if you were lucky, a lot of the time. But I would listen to Gene Dekeroff, who, of course, is the voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Vic Prinzi at the time, call the games. And just, I have so many great memories as a kid, just hugging that AM radio, you know, and listening and making that whole thing come alive. Danny McManus was a fun guy to watch. Certainly didn't have the professional impact that a guy like Mike Peterson had. So happy birthday, though, to both of those guys today. This date in football history, presented by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. And at Best Fence, their mission is to fabricate and install the highest quality product that you're going to find at a competitive price while still providing unsurpassed customer service. You know fencing is an investment in your home or your business and your family, and your business will feel protected. You're going to breathe easier knowing that the Best Fence Company installed your new fence. Best Fence provides professional free estimates at your convenience. So call them today, 268-1638, or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. All right, let's hear a few thoughts from Mercedes Lewis on with the boys from the drill earlier today. And let me see where I'm going with this. Mercedes Lewis talked about the impetus but between all the coast-to-coast travel, went out to see his sister graduate out in California. Certainly, I'm sure, as a veteran who's been working hard, could have got excused, particularly since OTAs are voluntary, but he talked about wanting to be back here and not miss anything.
That's all a part of our vision. It's my commitment, not just to the team, but to the organization. Where else would you rather be? We have a lot of work to get in and get done before September hits, and I want to be a part of that.
The vision, Tony.
Yeah.
I mean, if Gus Bradley would make a tremendous cult leader, would he not? I mean, honestly, he would be so. If other you know, avenues you may have pursued that just didn't work out for you, cult leader would have been one near the top of the list for Gus Bradley. I mean, he's got a whole new lingo this year, you know, on things that they're looking for. And vision is one of the newest ones that he's been impressing upon us, getting guys to understand what their own vision is for themselves, what our vision is for them, and how they fit in with the overall vision of the team. It's a word he uses over and over and over again, and clearly some of his veterans are picking up on that.
No doubt about it. I know Mercedes talked about the Jags culture in this building, too, and how much it has changed, but it needed it. This building needed everything to be turned around 180 degrees. They bring in a guy like Gus Bradley, not only with the new terms, the new language, everything that he brings in, but that enthusiasm. And for these players who went through, especially a guy like Mercedes, who was here with Jack Del Rio, had a couple of really good years under Del Rio with David Garrard throwing him the ball. He goes through that at the end of it when everything was in just disarray here in Jacksonville. Mike Mularkey comes in for a year. It's a complete and abject disaster here in Jacksonville with Mike Mularkey as the head coach. Then Gus comes in, and for half a season it looks really bad. And then the second half of last year, everyone continued to buy in because of how confident Gus Bradley was and what was happening. And they got results. And it's easier to believe when you have some kind of result to look back on and say, hey, maybe this works. And when you bring in the talent they did via free agency, everyone thinks they had a great draft. You can understand why a guy like Mercedes, who's been around as long as he has, is like, yes, if he wants to use the word vision, hell yeah, I'll use the word vision. I'm buying into what he's selling.
All right, and here's what he had to say about believing, as you talked about, in that Jaguar culture.
We can only control what we can control. We can't control whether we win or lose, but our preparation and getting better every day is what we can control. That's what gives us the confidence to believe. We work so hard, and we understand that at some point, victory will come.
He also, I think, Gus, could have been like a writer of Buddhist tenets, you know, something like that. You know, it's what it seems like to me, at least. I don't know anybody who's a Buddhist person. Maybe I do, and I just don't realize it. But it seems to be all about, you know, when you talk about the Zen master Phil Jackson, right, it's all about, you know, control the things you can control. You know, give me the serenity to not stress about it. You know what I'm talking about. You know,
sure.
Do what you're supposed to do, and the results will naturally follow. You know, it's like hitting a golf ball. You don't hit the ball. You swing through the ball and let the ball get in the way of your club. You know what I mean? It's kind of that's in theory, right? That's
sure.
Why we're not good golfers. We can't do that. One of the many reasons.
The club is life. You have to let go.
Something like
the
that.
The ball isn't there. The
result is life.
You are the
okay?
club. The
ball
the
is my child, and I'm sending him out into the world, and I want him to do well and land on a plush fairway, if that can be helped. But it's just all more of the same. You know, like you said, you got a few guys that have now been through several regimes here. And that number's dwindling, by the way.
It really is.
Not too many of those guys. Pretty soon they'll all be Gus slash Dave indoctrinated here. And then finally, Mercedes talking about the end of the year, really kind of coming on with his production, and a lot of that result was simply getting healthy after suffering that calf injury early in the season.
It was a great feeling to be able to go in there and make plays, especially when basically the first half of the season I was out with a torn calf.
Right.
And, you know, I kept trying to come back and feeling the pressure and all of that stuff. But regardless of how that went, when I came back, I have a head up. My spirits are always high. I was able to make plays. And Jed saw that during practice. And, you know, just gave me opportunities to go out there and make plays.
And, you know, and we said as well, in addition to Mercedes, keep an eye on Marcel Jensen if you're making it out to any of these open practices.
Yeah.
Among the tight ends. Easy to pick both of those guys out. They tower above practically everybody on the field when they're out there.
And it's funny, Marcel Jensen came in as a guy that really, during his time in college, was more of a blocker than he was a receiver. And the question was, does his receiving game translate to the NFL? Well, at least at this point in time when it's a lot of non-contact stuff.
He's taking advantage of
that. He's taking full advantage of it, and we'll see if he holds up in the NFL as a blocking tight end. But that was something that he excelled at in college. Really, the big question was, can he be a receiver at the next level?
By the way, the bounty, just in case, you know, because a lot of people who listen to Jaguars today, I would assume, are out at the practice fields right now. The bounty on the photo of Osher in the Aviators will extend into tomorrow if necessary. So if you're not out at practice today and you're planning on coming out tomorrow, first one to tweet me a picture of Osher on the set of Jaguars.com Live out there in his Aviator sunglasses or, you know, somewhere mingling with the crowd, as he is a man of the people, we'll hook you up with a Jaguars Today t-shirt. But if you are coming out tomorrow, keep an eye out for Marcel Jensen. As we said, in addition to Mercedes, been making a nice impact and impression, I think, on this coaching staff in the early going. And, you know, other than Clay Harbor, that's about what they have at the tight end position right now. So even though he's an undrafted free agent, I think Marcel Jensen has, with a strong training camp, a chance to stick around with this football team. Coming up, Tony and I are going to look at the top earning players in the National Football League and where do they fit in among the landscape of the top earners overall in sports in the U.S. And you think you'll actually do better predicting the international top 10.
I do.
Than you will the top 10 earning NFL players over the last calendar year. We'll find out if that's the case.
Yes, we will.
Coming up, 641-1010, if you'd like to get in before the show is out. We'll go until almost noon today, and we'll hand you off to XL Primetime, who, by the way, is live. Those boys will be live out at minicamp practice today, so stop by, say hi to Joe C., Ryan the Hacker Green, and T-Wig as they broadcast into the early afternoon out there. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Ah, see, even I know that one. Come on, you can't slip the Who past me. It's all about getting better today, Tony. It's all what it's about.
Good job.
It's all what it's about right there. I got that one, Lauren. You could have let off at that one. I would have gotten that. Right? I wouldn't even have to know the theme.
But that'd be too easy.
It would have been. Season tickets on sale for 2014 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, you can become a season ticket member and have access to unprecedented Jags 365 benefits year-round, including private Chalk Talk sessions, a Meet the Rookies event, pre- and post-game access to the field, press conferences, and a lot more. You can make your football fantasy a reality here at the newly renovated Everbank Field by clicking on Jaguars.com or calling 633-2000. When I say newly renovated, it's all part of this transparency thing, Tony. A lot of transparency in the organization.
I know.
The new window.
That's the window.
Has gone in here. Still think there's a little bit of work to do to finish it up, finishing touches on the window.
I would say so, yes.
But it is there, and you know, I do think we could hang some kind of big Jaguar banner and drop it down if it ever became necessary.
Yep.
For a little privacy here in the Jaguars Today studios. But all right, let's take a look at some of the top earners in the National Football League according to Fortune magazine, right? Not Forbes, who does this. I think it's Fortune.
I think it's Fortune. Yeah.
In conjunction with the folks at SI.com, every year they basically just rank the top earners in American professional sports, top 50. In addition to that, they also give you the international top 20. You think you'll actually fare better picking out the international top 10 compared to the 10 players who are on the fortune list of the fortunate 50 is what they call it, the 50 highest earners in the National Football League. I told you earlier, 10 NFL players make the cut. Where would you like to start?
We'll do the NFL first.
All right.
Which, by the way, 10's a big number out of 50 for the National Football League. Compared to the other sports.
There have been plenty of years when there's been like four or five guys.
Yeah, with the money that you get paid in baseball and basketball and these other major sports here in this country, 10's a big number.
Keeping in mind that the number is calculated by how much money they took in a 12-month period, which means if you sign a new contract and you get a signing bonus, that signing bonus is going to count all towards that year's salary because you're actually putting that in the bank. So this is salary plus endorsement earning, and I have the breakdown on that as well. It's interesting to see which guys actually make the big endorsement money and which guys make hardly any. But we'll start. Where are you going to go?
We'll go to the NFL.
Okay.
And I have six that I feel pretty good about being on the 10.
Confident six. And super six.
Then I'll be guessing at the other four. But I'll go Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is fifth overall, second highest paid NFL player. But he's fifth overall among all American athletes. He made $25 million in salary. I think that was just his straight salary, right? That's the deal he signed, $25 million a year deal. And among the guys in the top 50, among the NFL players in the top 50, makes the most endorsement money, $12.5 million. So half of his salary. A lot of sports, particularly golf, right? Golf is all about the endorsement money.
No doubt. You know,
Tiger Woods in a good year might bring in $10 million bucks. And another 80 to 100 million off the course.
He earns 10 million.
It's crazy. And part of this too, last night, my wife asked me, so how much does Clint Dempsey make in a year? Is it over a million? I'm like, oh yeah. So I don't know how much over a million, but I know it's over a million. And I said, probably most of these guys. Well, it turns out, looking at the U.S., looked up the numbers today, Clint Dempsey makes like 6.7 million plus whatever he makes in endorsements.
Yeah.
Nothing to sneeze at. Don't get any ideas, honey. All right? You're already betrothed. And only three other guys on the U.S. team make at least $1 million a year playing professionally. Michael Bradley.
One of the lowest paid teams in the World Cup.
Yeah, Bradley makes like $6 million. And then Landon Donovan, who's not even on the team, makes like, I think, $4.5 million. And then one other guy made 1.2.
Omar Gonzalez.
There you go. All right, Peyton Manning, you're one for one. Ding, ding.
Matthew Stafford.
Stafford. Interesting, but good guess. Got a new contract. So he made $31.5 million. That's on field because he got the signing bonus.
Wow.
He got the extension last year. Makes $1.5 million off the field. What does Matt Stafford have endorsements in? Anything?
I don't know.
It must be like print endorsements for like hats or something. That's why I'm going to guess he has a print endorsement for some hat company.
I
have no idea what. I don't know if I've ever seen a Matt Stafford ad. Have I?
I don't remember ever seeing him in an ad.
Somebody could correct. I mean, Peyton for a while there was everywhere. As far as his ads go.
And I have seen my next guess in ads, though.
Okay, tell me who it is.
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan. And I know he was doing the Axe hair stuff.
Yep.
Does he still do that?
Yeah, I think he does.
A.J. McCarron picked that up. he did. I mean, that's why he came on with Maurice and I at Radio Row this year. Matt Ryan made $30 million, got a new contract as well, so made $30 million on the field. 1.5 off the field. So apparently they're selling a lot of hair products.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is your number one. By the way, Stafford was number 10 overall among U.S. athletes. Ryan was 12th. Aaron Rodgers is number one among NFL players. Number four overall. Made $40 million because he got a new deal as well. So he made
got the new deal and State Farm.
Right. And State Farm. So he makes 5.8, which is, by NFL standards, a huge off-the-field number to make.
Eli Manning.
Eli Manning snuck in there. You're perfect so far. Eli made 13.5, and here's where the Manning name carries a clout. And playing in the New York market and all that, obviously he's won a couple of Super Bowls, but he makes $7 million a year in endorsements. Makes more than Tom Brady in endorsements, makes more than...
Well, he and Peyton do Oreo, and he's got his own the Fossil Watches or whatever, I know, at least.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's gravy trained on that Peyton bandwagon a little bit, and why shouldn't he? So between the two of them, they make nearly $20 million off the field. But
this is
you got Eli.
A big contract guy, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be on this. Darrell Revis. Really?
No Darrell Revis on here. Now, keeping him, what did he make, like $20 million last year?
Yeah.
Probably doesn't have any endorsements, I'm guessing, because Eli was 49th out of 50, and his combined earnings were 20.5. So Revis is probably just outside looking in. You get 10 guesses. So far you've hit Rodgers, Manning, Stafford, Ryan, Manning.
Okay, I'll go with another quarterback then, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees not among the top 50.
Really?
Earners, yep.
I thought he just got a contract.
He probably, it was probably 2 years ago. That's how quickly. I mean, you get that big signing bonus, and then, you know, maybe he's making $10 million a year and $5 million in endorsements. Not good enough to crack the top 50.
Big contracts here recently. Tony Romo?
Tony Romo is not in your top 50. How about that?
Hmm.
Didn't he just get that deal?
That was last offseason. I don't know how.
I don't know how he's not on there unless I missed him, but yeah. I didn't see him on there.
Yeah, that was last offseason because that was all the criticism of Romo.
For shame, for shame.
Going into
How's
the
your
year.
Internet working, by the way?
I don't
my list
know.
Just went down on me.
I haven't been trying to use
right.
it here.
Good thing I wrote, took some notes.
Geno Atkins?
Geno Atkins, that's out of left field. No, no Geno Atkins.
Because he got that big contract last
He got that contract, too. And then he tore himself up working his way back.
All right, I'll go.
How many have you guessed? So
Tom
far?
Brady. I
yeah,
think this is my
Tom
ninth
Brady.
Guess.
He's got the Uggs. $4 million worth of Uggs and whatever else he does. $31 million on the field, $4 million off the field. Good for eighth among U.S. athletes and third behind Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning.
Couple receivers.
Oh,
here.
I'm sorry, Romo. I did have Romo. My bad.
Romo's on here?
Romo is on there. I wrote him down and somehow I just skipped right past him. You're absolutely right. 26.5. What do you think he makes off the field? Quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, that whole
I'm guessing
thing.
You're asking me because it's low. I'll say $500,000.
1.25.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting.
It
you know,
is interesting.
I mean, his
if
reputation.
Four,
right. If Tony Romo won a Super Bowl, though, he'd probably be making $5 million a year in endorsements.
Because he just signed it to Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson, very good. Only one of two non-quarterbacks on this list. $25 million on the field, 0.9 off the field. I actually see him. What is that commercial he does where he dresses in the suit?
Or? Yeah, I don't know what product that's for. Is it for a car?
Might be. It might be like a Buick commercial or
something. Like that.
I don't know. I'm guessing. Fortunato is kind of lazily nodding over there. I don't think he has any clue.
I think I got 8 out of 10.
Okay. Did you guess? Did you make 10 guesses?
Yeah, that would be 10 guesses.
All right. You missed.
My others was Brandon Marshall. And some left tackle. This is what
Brandon Marshall and some left tackle. That would be incorrect. Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Got the deal. $30 million on the field. Joe Flacco makes 2.2 in endorsements? What?
For what?
For what exactly? I don't know. Big and tall men's stores.
Yes.
I suppose. And one other non-quarterback makes the list. 24th overall, Clay Matthews. How about that?
Huh.
He's got a new deal as well. $22.02 million. He wears number 22, so he's got something to do with that. But
sure.
He makes 3.1. That's pretty good endorsement money.
That is pretty
That's
good
the power of the pack right there. He gravy trained some of that Rodgers money, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he do some of that?
He did some State Farm
stuff.
So yeah, he did.
All right, so there you have it. I cannot tell you who is in the international top 10 at the moment. But chances are there are a lot of soccer players in there. By the way, if you think these salaries in the U.S., by the way, the top one, Floyd Mayweather made like 100-something million.
Yeah, I was going to say.
In actual
He'd be
earnings.
Number one. I'm guessing like Kobe and LeBron are top five.
I'd love to tell you. Maybe I can dig it back up here. Oh, I think I got the international one coming back up if I can outsmart this computer. I might not be able to. But so he made like $100 million, but that's a boxer winning purses. You know, it's not a salary
sure.
per se. The salaries of the top soccer players are what ballpark would you put them in? Give me a rough number what the top soccer player makes on an annual salary.
Top soccer player is probably around 35 to 40 million.
49 plus.
Yeah.
Almost $50 million.
That'd be Ronaldo and
yeah.
Messi and
yeah.
Neymar.
Both of those, Ronaldo and Messi are the top two, and they're both making over $42 million, I believe. That's pretty good cash.
That's really good cash.
If you can get that kind of money. Also, one other thing of note, wanted to take a quick look at. I'll try to dig up the international top 10 here. In the way too early for its season, people write those articles, the way too early projection for the 53-man roster. I know mm-hmm. Alfie Crow did one for Big Cat Country a few weeks ago. I know O'Halloran's doing one on Monday, so you can look forward to that in the Florida Times Union. He's going to project the 53-man roster after OTAs and minicamp are wrapped up. What's really it's way too early for, of course, are the 2015 mock drafts. Doesn't mean I won't take a peek at one. Anytime there's it's like Pavlov's dog, man. They ring the bell and I come salivating.
No doubt.
It's more interesting not so much where they've got the players going, but where they have the teams slotted right now. They have the Oakland Raiders. SI does right now. Sports Illustrated picked the Oakland Raiders as the worst team in the National Football League this year, taking down the number one overall pick. That's Cedric Abui, guy, the tackle from Texas A&M, because apparently if you play tackle at Texas A&M now, you are a top five draft pick. That's just the way it's going to go. But they have the Jags picking second.
Darn it.
That's not a lot of confidence in the Bradley regime right there. And they've got him picking Vic Beasley, the outside linebacker. He'd be a Leo pass rusher here for Jacksonville, obviously. He was a guy, Tony, that I don't know what the NFL advisory board told him, but I know the quote-unquote panel of draft experts out there felt that he was probably in that 20 to 40 range.
Yep.
You know, that maybe that D Ford range as a pass rusher to come off the board this year. So will he get that much better? Will he be considered a top guy? I mean, who knows? But I think it's more instructional that Sports Illustrated doesn't have a lot of faith in your Jacksonville Jaguars. By the way, they have the Titans picking one pick behind you.
Oh.
So apparently clear sailing for Indy this year, I'm guessing.
Full of heavy hitters.
I didn't get too deep on where Houston's selecting, but I'm guessing that they've got Indy cruising through the division title under that scenario. All right, we will come back. We'll take a look at the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today, asking you, who's your favorite current NFL broadcaster, television or radio? And we'll give you a chance to score a Jaguars Today t-shirt when we do come back on the other side. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Top of the hour, we've got the boys from XL Primetime coming your way. Joe C. Ryan, the Hacker Green, T-Wig, all live out at minicamp practice right now. Open to the public today, and those folks will be open to you as well tomorrow, Jaguar practice. So if you're not able to make it out today, if you're listening, tomorrow, practice from 10:55 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. free. You do have to register by going to Jaguars.com. Go to Jaguars.com/practice, or if you just go to Jaguars.com, look for the link. But that is a direct link that'll take you there to register. Jaguars.com/practice. You'll sail right in. It's absolutely free, but they please request that you head there and print out a ticket, for lack of a better phrase. Register for the practice so they can kind of keep track of how many people are coming and going. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with more Jaguars Today live from Everbank next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. What we got, Fortunato? Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, this is Sheryl Crow.
It's a song.
I don't know.
It's
got
to have vision
song
in it, right? Get better.
A change would do you good.
A change would do you good. Oh, okay. A change. Yeah, I could hear it now.
Yeah. I like when you sing it.
Yeah, well, I had to. It takes me a while. Apparently, I'd be awful at Name That Tune. This is absolutely terrible. Does anybody know what that is anymore? Fortunato.
Yes,
because he's an
I
old
do.
Dude. You do know, Lauren?
Uh-huh.
When did you ever see Name That Tune?
I don't know. I used to watch reruns.
I must have. See how she throws it.
Because I wanted to play that game, but I wouldn't be good either.
Yeah, I can. And it was always, you know, they played on the piano. You ever watch Name That Tune, Tony? Game
no,
show
I
Network?
Haven't seen that. I mean, I saw, like, Wayne Brady did that karaoke show not too long ago. That was just a couple years ago.
What is Wayne Brady doing?
He's doing Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's back on the CW, yeah.
What is he doing right now?
I don't know.
I'm guessing he's in California. It's
whatever
it's
he wants.
He's
sleeping Wayne it off. Brady.
I think he's sleeping it off right now. Probably what he's doing. Is he doing Let's Make a Deal? Fortunato says he's doing Let's
he's
Make a Deal as well.
He's a busy man.
It's all over the place, man. All right, good for him. Good for Wayne Brady. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. What we do Jaguars Today. Of course, Tony does the Fat Tony Show.
I do.
I dabble in a little SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. By the way, I did have, I told you, like, I guess it was a week ago today, had my first draft of the season.
Yeah.
Not counting all the rookie drafts and all that stuff. Took Gerhardt in round 5. It was my second running back. I want to say Cecil Shorts went in round 8, maybe, and then the only other Jaguar who got drafted was Storm Johnson. So I guess people are just, you know, throwing darts at backup running backs, wondering if the starter gets hurt. But pretty confident that, barring injury, Toby's going to be toting the rock a ton this year. All right, today, Tony, we asked folks in the Fan Feedback Spotlight. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Who's your favorite current NFL announcer that's radio or television? And must say we got a couple of votes for Sexton in there. He's not a current announcer, but he appreciated those, passed those along to him. Also got a couple of mentions for Frank Frangie. Yep. Doesn't count, hasn't called a game yet. So taking the two local guys out of the equation, Tony, what kind of give us a sampling of what the Twitter sphere had to say.
Here's what we got from Meta World Bortles. We got Chris Collinsworth because he actually criticizes players when they screw up.
I like that.
Hashtag Jaguars today.
I like Collinsworth, by the way. Big
I do too. From Eric, I like Al Michaels, always have, and of course John Madden and Summerall were the greatest. Hashtag Jaguars today.
You know, one of the best thing about Al Michaels, just to me, is just the reference to the gambling. You know, when this game, when they hit the over-under,
yeah.
When the over-under, this game's over. And I do mean over. It's so blatant. I'm surprised the NFL, as tight,
I know,
as tight, backsided as they are.
Yeah.
We'll call it tight-assed is probably what they are, but to be fair. Come on. Yes, rein that in a little bit, but I enjoy that. So
from
what else?
Eric number two at Coach E. Nelson on Twitter. Joe Buck, hashtag Jaguars today, from Sean.
How does he feel about being called Eric number two? What do you think?
Well, he's the second Eric in a row.
All right.
Was distinguishing.
Another Eric.
Two. From Sean, we get Gus Johnson, hashtag Jaguars today. I don't think he's doing the NFL anymore. He's doing football.
Brutal.
The Premier League stuff.
Brutal. Gus Johnson's good for one thing. Gus Johnson's good for the NCAA tournament. When every game is do or die, it's the end of your season, there's a lot of passion and emotion.
I disagree.
What he's good for.
Gus is awesome.
Screams way too much.
Love Gus.
So what about? Didn't somebody tweet us today saying that Gus calls every game like it's the you know, what is it, the Super Bowl or something like that?
So, yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, way too over the top.
From right. Jason, ugh, Tirico? This is really an area where the NFL needs to get better. Tell Coach. Maybe he can help. Hashtag.
All right, so he's not a fan of Tirico.
Correct.
Okay.
From Paul, we got, does Andrew Siciliano count? Because he should. Hashtag Jaguars today. He hosts the Red Zone for DirecTV, Andrew Siciliano.
Is there another guy that hosts Red Zone?
Yeah, that's for NFL Network.
Oh, okay. So
there's
they basically
two different red zones.
Do they show the same exact feed?
No.
And it's both called Red Zone?
They're both called Red Zone. DirecTV actually had it before the NFL Network.
That's confusing.
DirecTV had it when they their package opened with it about 8 years ago. They started running Red Zone stuff on DirecTV on the Sunday package.
Right.
And then NFL Network 3 or 4 years ago started running their own Red Zone channel. So it's two completely different things.
Interesting, because I will watch that, or I'll listen to it. I keep my eyes on the road. But after a Jag game, once I get, you know, clear of the little radius of the stadium, pop up the NFL mobile package on the phone and miss a lot less football driving home on Sunday afternoons than I used to.
No doubt. From Richard Cranium, we got can't think of one. You can count on the national guys calling the Jags not the best. Hashtag Jaguars today.
He's saying, wait, he's not saying that the announcers refer to the Jags as, quote, not the best. He's saying that the guys who call the Jags games are not the best.
Yeah,
that,
it's right. Not the best guys.
Gotcha.
From Judson, we got, has to be Iron Eagle. Don't the best work Jags games?
See,
hashtag Jaguars today.
I love the snarkiness of
hashtag
that.
Hashtag we get the Z crew each week. And from Duval Doom, everyone who is not Chris Collinsworth, everyone, Spiro is better. Everyone. Hashtag Jaguars today.
Spiro Ditas.
Yeah.
Out there. And look, everybody's got their favorites. Let me
sure
give you a
do.
Couple courtesy of the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Let's see. Joe Buck yourself. Not for his skills, but for his awesome fantasy football name. Hashtag Jaguars Today.
So not bad.
You've got Joe Buck. Jim Nance, very solid. We'll let the game play out without over-dramatizing it. His least favorite from Matthew is Mike Mayock. Diarrhea of the mouth breaks down every play. Next time he does a game, pay attention to him. Very annoying. I'm not annoyed by Mayock.
I like Mayock.
I kind of do, too. Is he working with Nestler? Still, he was working with Nestler.
Yeah, he does the Thursday night
stuff. I think Nestler is one of the best guys, just period.
I think that's changing. With the whole CBS NFL
Network. Yeah, now it's Nance and Sims, right?
Yeah, they'll be doing the Thursday night game and the premier game on Sunday.
At least, well, are they doing both?
I think they're doing both.
Okay. Who moved up into the number two spot? There was a big to-do about
that. Stan Fouts.
Fouts and who's he working with?
I don't know.
But they're the new number two team.
I don't even know.
And some people have suggested, I can't say, I mean, Nance is one of these guys that they're going to let him work for as long as he wants to, isn't he?
Yeah.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he seems to be pretty popular. I could take him or leave him. I don't know. I mean, I honestly, if you're not taking away from the broad, if you're not making me annoyed and making me turn down the sound, I don't really care all that much.
I generally don't either, and I guess it's but that's why I enjoy a guy like Mayock more than I enjoy most guys. I feel like they're bringing something to the game that I may not have seen or understood about what was going on in a broadcast. Maybe for some people that seems like they're preaching to you about what's going on in a football game, and I can get how that would become annoying to you. But for me, a guy like that, a guy like Collinsworth who's willing to be critical and show me what's going on behind the scenes of this play, I love that part of it as someone who's as into football as I am, and guys like Nance are fine. I mean, it's a take it or leave
it
thing.
Right, exactly. It's like, fine, you don't do anything for me. You don't really take away from my enjoyment of the game. I don't care. It's,
right.
And for some people, it matters a lot. I'm with you. I like Collinsworth, and Collinsworth, to me, reminds me a lot of Johnny Miller. Not that extreme, but he will call it like he sees it, and
yep.
he will tell you that this guy is an absolute screw-up, and he's got no business being in that position or making that play or
Sunday
not making
night
that play.
Does a fantastic job with not only what they actually allow you to see, but it's when they slow things down and actually take you inside plays and that kind of thing, talk about what was going on during the week in their conversations. They are more in-depth than any other broadcast, and it's because it's Sunday Night Football, and they feel like this is the game of the week. That's usually the premier game of the week in the National
Football
League.
Well, and the league has helped them out with that because they give them the premier games.
They need to, and it works with those two guys on that broadcast. It's my favorite broadcast, and honestly, all the other ones, if it was on mute, I wouldn't care.
I don't care that much either. Although I like Dan Fouts. I thought Dan Fouts was really good on Monday Night Football. I guess the networks like him too. They're putting him in the number two spot.
As long as they're not a blithering idiot. As long as they understand what's happening in the game. Like a couple of years ago when they were going the two playoff games where Phil Simms didn't understand whether to go for two or what was going on, and
that's just shocking.
I know. These guys that were around it as much as these guys were, that they don't understand the situation in the game.
That's bothersome, but for the most, there are a lot of people who don't like Phil Simms because of his attitude or ego or what have you. I don't mind him.
I'm a Giants fan. I love Phil, but that doesn't mean I like him as a broadcaster.
I think he's fine.
He's okay.
Phil Simms doesn't bother me. Gus Johnson bothers me because
like
everything
Gus.
Is just, you know, it's like you don't have to overhype a lot of this stuff, I think. So he bugs me. Paul McGuire used to be unlistenable. One guy who literally would make me mute the television when he was on the Sunday Night Football game was Paul McGuire. He's just so, so awful. But Deckerhoff, as far as radio goes, I'm a biased fan. We got a lot of Deckerhoffs, the way, on the Twitter. So be looking out if you contacted us via the social media.
You Deckerhoffs need to include the hashtag.
Use the hashtag if you want to get read by Fat Tony.
That's right.
That's exactly right. And if you want to win a Jaguars Today t-shirt, still waiting for the first photo of Osher in the Aviators out there. So you've got a wide open playing field as far as that goes tomorrow, Jaguar fans. If you're coming out tomorrow, practice open from 10:55, basically 11 o'clock to 1:15. Typically, there's been a line halfway around the stadium waiting to get in that forms in the hour leading up to the gates opening. So go to jaguars.com/practice, register, print out whatever you need to print out, show up, get here early tomorrow, get a good spot, and it'll be the last until training camp, until the practicing, where are they practicing? At
Bartram Trail.
Bartram Trail, that's
yep.
right. Until that day coming up in August, you're not going to have another chance to see these guys with your own eyes, so you're going to have to rely on...
It's like July 28th or
is
something.
Is it July 28th? Yeah, it's August somewhere.
The day of that practice, yeah.
It'll be August somewhere. But it makes no sense whatsoever. The Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Every day asking Jaguar fans what drives you, and the Family of Dealerships includes, of course, Tom Bush Mini, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mazda, and Tom Bush Volkswagen. You can visit TomBush.com for more information when you're in the market for your new, your next new or pre-owned vehicle. And you can follow them on Twitter as well, at Tom Bush Motors. Keep up with the Fan Feedback Spotlight that way. Final thought before we head out, what are you looking forward to today?
I'm looking forward to seeing some of these receivers back on the field. With
Let's hope so.
Mike Brown.
Marquise not in the boot today, right?
Marquise not in the boot, but it looks like he and Allen Robinson still not participating. Probably won't be for the rest of this week. But looking forward to seeing some of those receivers back out there on the practice field. And as far as my final thought, John Brooks, you're a great American. Sir.
Ah, Brooks, because he's got it's the last name. No love for Clint Dempsey. That's okay. We get enough love.
A great American, John Brooks.
Yesterday.
All Brooks is ours.
After a certain point, laying face down on the ground as if you can't believe what just happened. Get up and hug somebody, dude. You know?
He dreamed about it, Mike. Whatever. He had a dream he was going to score the game-winning goal against Ghana in the 80th minute, and man!
You know who else had that dream? The other 22 guys on the team that didn't score that goal.
Maybe,
so.
But there was no way Brooks could have even
except
thought he
maybe
was going to get
Howard.
In that game. There's no
Tim
reason
Tim
Howard to
even
he was
probably dreamed he kicked one over the and it bounced over the goalie's head, and he won the game that way.
Not a bad way to score your first goal for the United States.
It's all good. I'm glad they won. Let's go crush some Portuguese hearts and minds and dreams on Sunday. Whatever they want to put out there to be crushed. Cristiano Ronaldo with your $49 million a year salary. Good luck to you this weekend, or bad luck to you. You see the witch doctor yesterday, by the way?
No, I didn't see him.
You didn't see the witch doctor?
Oh, yeah, the witch doctor.
The Ghanaian witch doctor?
Yeah, he was there at the game with the, nope!
Pretty awesome.
Have you seen the picture of the, there was a Twitter account that opened up right after the game. It was at Did Ghana Win? And one of the pictures was the word nope with his mouth open as the O.
Nice. By the way, Nathan Dutton, let me see if I've got this this shot. Does he have the glasses on? I'm trying to zoom in on the picture. I'm having issues. He may have scored an exclusive shot of J.P. Shadrick and Johnny O as they get ready to, well, they're holding court right now on Jaguars.com Live. Coming up in mere moments, we'll give you off to Joe C. Ryan, the Hacker Green, and T-Wick. In fact, they're the next voices you'll hear on the other side. So, for John Osher, senior writer from Jaguars.com, for Joe Fortunato, for Lauren Brooks and Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. More Jaguars today coming back at you tomorrow morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.